Thank you for a kindly welcome and wonderful time of confirmation. I bring you a picture for your fridge door. This picture needs a little bit of explanation. For a start, it's that way up. The history to it was painted by an artist in Brisbane as a gift to the outgoing primate of our Anglican Church, Philip Aspinall. Bishop Philip is the new primate of our Anglican Church. And what the artist has wanted to capture there, the bright, warm light, is the light of Jesus shining and shining out ahead for us and to us. And like little Trinitarian people, there we are, all those triangles. That's all the churches of our Australia. And there we all are, following the light and linked together. As you can see, a line that shows sort of that we are linked in the spirit and we're all given enough light for the way in which we're travelling, and we're all encouraged to keep travelling in the light of Christ. So it's a painting which is descriptive of our reality. It's the big picture painting for our story as the people of God in this great south land of the Holy Spirit, and it's also a picture for each of us and for our individual lives and for our confirmees today to continue to have that confidence that the light of Jesus will always shine upon your next step. There'll always be sufficient light for that next step, and that you are bonded, linked in the Spirit with the wonderful community, which is obviously this community here being supportive of you today, but it's a community that stretches right across our nation, and it's a community that stretches right across our world, and it's a community, as we remember that ladder up to heaven and Jesus, the true meeting place of heaven and earth, it's a community that goes back in time, and it will go forward in time in the Spirit. And this same Spirit in which I prayed you be strengthened today is the same Spirit that we read in the Acts of the Apostles, transforming ordinary people into the men and women of God who became the gospel bearers that carried the church, as it says in the scriptures, to the end of the earth. Don't know that Carlton's the end of the earth, but we've come a long way from 33 AD or something thereabouts to now, 2014, from out the back of Jerusalem to here in Carlton today. The same Spirit bonding us together. And the light of Christ enough always for that next step. And the warmth, the light which also delights, the light which enlightens, the light which is a warmth in our hearts, as we know when we live in the Spirit. One short story to then go a little bit into some elaboration. A woman now of some significant achievement told me recently of a very pivotal moment when she was much younger. In her earlier life, she had a fine mentor who was quite old and became ill near retirement, and so this woman remembers then going with her work friends to visit this person who'd been such a great mentor. And they were around the hospital bed, and they probably knew this was probably the last time they would see her. And just as they were about to leave, this mentor of hers asked her just to wait a moment as the others left the hospital bed and the hospital room. And this woman, who was really quite ill, and really, in a way, didn't need to do anything. Everybody appreciated she was near the end of her life, and even greeting people was quite demanding. She said to this woman then, very young, "When you came to work with us, I was told you might be something of a problem." And then she said, I want to tell you that you've never been a problem to me. And I want you to remember that I've told you this. Now, the woman telling me this now, many years later, a woman of significant achievement, says she's never forgotten that moment and that how much it actually meant to her that this woman, really close to death, did this for her, just said these simple words to her, didn't over elaborate, didn't over romance, didn't make it unbelievable what she said to her, but just said, they said you might be a problem, I want to tell you, you haven't been one. And she recognises now herself, in mature years and having achieved many things, that when she looks back upon the kind of person she was then, she was, she says it herself, rather confused, immature, and she can see how she might have been at times quite difficult for other people to deal with. And she knows too that at that stage of her life she was struggling. And that this was recognised by her employer, by her mentor, who made this valiant effort to reassure her, though very ill, just was a moment of significance in her life out of which she has lived. And she tells the story because out of it, the lesson she got and she's trying to live by is how one small act of kindness can actually turn a whole life around. Just one simple gesture. We don't know quite what its significance might be for others, but simple acts of kindness can actually turn a whole life around. And I thought of this story looking there at these scriptures today with all of their rich themes and being aware of the kind of things that have drawn us, dragged us into prayer in this past week as we've lived our lives, our own ups and downs and good and bad and so on and so forth, but aware of things internationally as well. The great story unfolding in Genesis, the Psalm about living in God's presence, the Romans letter about living in the Spirit of Jesus with Easter hope, being patient, keeping on being hopeful. And Jesus, very matter of fact, in that parable description of the way it actually is, there's God's creation, God's reign inaugurated, us freely choosing which way we go, the possibility of becoming children of light or the possibility of being sucked into stupidity, evil and cruelty. The choice is ours. Judgment finally is the consequence for good or for ill. And I guess it just kind of gets me thinking, well, let's just remember, me too, all of us perhaps together, the story of which we're part as we try and keep our lives in perspective, because the essence of our faith is that the Creator of all that is has come amongst us, visible in Jesus, taken on everything possible, and then risen radiantly from the dead to be our source of hope forever, to be the light that forever shines. And this is this, that the Creator of this 13.5 billion year old universe, give or take a week or two, this universe that has these soaring comets and stars beyond Saturn, the end of the universe yet to be found, down on the ground, we saw it at our clergy conference this week, the elegant pelicans that come on land, you know, down where the Murray River runs in, down on the Coorong, the kookaburras that were singing in the sky out of the Collingwood farm when we went to buy some biodynamic kiwi fruit and all this. this creator of this extraordinary universe who gives us life. And, you know, I'm a long-time meditator, and one of the things you, in meditation, you breathe out. Is this my last breath? You breathe in. Still here. Kind of continually reminds you that you're you know, that life is pure gift, and that at a certain point in time, the creator of all that is, having kind of given a bit of the message through those wild transcendent folk whom we call the prophets, actually entered this life, you know, in this most exquisitely vulnerable, humble way. His family soon to be refugees in Egypt. During Ramadan, I've gone to various iftar meals that end up the Ramadan. We were sitting last week, turns out, next to the Egyptian consul. I talked with him about the Peter Gress, the journalist. I've had lots of emails, he said. This is the journalist that's been locked up in Cairo, and I got the impression they're actually trying to find a way to give him a pardon, which is very good news. But it's good news that the Australian community has inundated the Egyptian embassy here with messages. Anyway, aside from that, he was saying that in his area where he came from, there's a pilgrim route that marks where Jesus, Mary and Joseph went when they fled after Herod's proclamations, guided by the wise ones into Egypt. I didn't know that. It'd be nice if things settled down to be able to go there. But there, the God, the creator of all that is, who then sets about creating God's people. And we're in the midst of reading through Genesis, and we see there today Jacob's sense of the divine holiness in that place he calls Bethel. And we see there that deep human instinct. How do we grow in awareness, our awareness of God's constant presence? Well, we'll build something. And it's such a deep instinct, isn't it? So everywhere, all over the planet, people trying to feel, how do I get and feel close to God? How do I become more aware of God's presence? Build churches so we can enter and have times we call Holy Communion. It's deep in our being to do this. And that was the instinct of Jacob, who was on his journey. In recent weeks, we've been reading through that section. A couple of weeks back, we had the wonderful story of Rebecca, the love story of Rebecca going off with her camels to water the camels, just an ordinary day camel feeding. And this guy down by the water saying to himself and to the Lord, whichever woman comes along here and feeds my camels and asks me if I want a drink, I think that's the bride. That's the bride for my mate Isaac. And so he's sitting there down by the water, and along she comes, just an ordinary day, and down to the water, and he says, can I have a drink? And she says, sure, do you want a drink? And would you like me to give a bit of a drink to your camels? And he says, yeah, yes. And he says, you want to come with me? We're off, we're getting up on the... And she gets on the camel and off she goes, and she arrives at the place and she puts the veil around herself and she sees this bloke in the paddock, and it's love at first sight. It's such a fantastic story. Anyway, and then they have children. They have to wait a while. It takes a while. The children finally come, Jacob and Esau, and there's a bit of sibling rivalry between them. It's such a great, you know, such a great human story. Then they get out on the roads. That's where we pick up this story. Jacob's on the road. He'll find love too up the track. If we read that next week, there'll be lots of babies, including Joseph with his flash coat. More sibling rivalry, but in and through it all, Jacob's name means persevere with God. And then he wrestles with the angel and he becomes Israel. Israel, that's the name Jacob becomes. And so, as we gather here today, and Steve kindly printed this out, one of the things of the week, of course, is the terrible conflict in Gaza and Israel. We have a hospital in Gaza which has had all sorts of, itself been under a lot of stress, but this past week has been part of some of the bombs that have landed, and they're trying to keep open and they're trying to keep looking after the people who are the casualties in Gaza. So that's there, and any of us, I'm going to make a contribution, and if we can, make some contributions. Maybe we can gather them in a little bowl or something and send them off as a contribution to this hospital that has anyone who comes in need gets looked after, and it's there in Gaza. And during the week, I for the moment am chairing a group that tries to hold together Jewish and Muslim and Christian people in Melbourne, JCMA it's called, and we try to write something because we had to say something in the context of what's been happening between Israel and Gaza. And our multiculturalism so far has been strong because we've been able to keep out of our country conflicts external, and people have been so grateful to be in a place that's safe and free that they've been willing not to import the conflicts of elsewhere. That is seriously under threat, and tensions are vivid in the digital age as so much news pours in and people feel so much everything is their issue. And to try and be with the Muslim people this past week and say something that wasn't that they wanted, and at the same time with the Jewish people who are themselves, and Mark knows this from his connections with the Jewish community, themselves so conflicted. They feel they must be strong supporters of Israel. Privately, they may feel very distressed about some of the things the Israeli government does, but they just feel so conflicted. How do we, people of Abraham and Sarah, say something sensible, pray for one another, keep the peace amongst Jews, Christians and Muslims in our country with those external issues? It's a big matter for our continuing prayers. And I say it simply because here we have the people of God being formed in the Holy Spirit, these Genesis stories, and it's our story. They're complex people like us. They're good and they're bad, they're kind, they're jealous, and in God's Spirit they're called to be the holy people of God. So all this comes back to the cross, because at a certain point in time, as we've said, the Creator visible in Jesus is given no more room to move. The opposition gets so noisy, he stays silent. He has dinner with his friends, which we're going to remember in a moment, and in the process experience Holy Communion. And we just take in again that this, the Creator of the stars beyond Saturn, the rock formations that make Uluru, who inspires the poets, the makers of the lutes, the electric guitars, perhaps even chocolate cake, the one who is silent music, who is, as the prophet Elijah steps from the cave, the still small voice of the divine, the one who's in the burning bush when Moses approaches out the back of the mountain minding his father-in-law's sheep. This one who is such an awesome presence that none dare look at such holiness and radiance, and who can be the cry of a newborn baby in a manger amidst the frankincense and the myrrh, goes to Golgotha, dies, and then rises from the dead to be our source of hope forever. This is our story. This is the story, the grand narrative into which the stories of our lives fit. And we come together now to be renewed in that hope and in that faith, trusting the light of Christ will continue to shine in our lives and give us light going forward, and hoping that when we see the opportunity to offer some simple act of kindness, we do it, because we do not know how significant it may well be for those to whom we offer it. The Lord be with you.